We are in our third installment of Things God Never Said, our third and final, and I'm excited to preach to you today. I'm really excited for next week. We're starting a sermon series called The Great Eight, and I'm really excited about this. I've seen other churches do a similar type series where they take eight of the biggest stories in the Bible or the ones that are most meaningful to them and kind of go all throughout to see the whole arc of what God has done. And so I'm excited to preach to you about some really awesome Sunday school type stories that your kids are even going to know. We're talking about Adam and Eve and Noah in the ark and Moses in the Red Sea and Elijah on Mount Carmel and Daniel in the lion's den and Jonah in the whale and Peter walking on water. And we're culminating the Great Eight with the greatest story ever on Easter weekend, Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection. So if you have ever thought, man, is there a Sunday that I should bring a friend? I guarantee you the next 8 weeks are going to be action-packed, power-packed. God is going to do something really awesome in this series as we get into the Great Eight. But we got one more week today of Things God Never Said. And this one we're talking about today is probably the most important of the three that we've discussed. It is a cultural lie and a cultural misbelief that many people believe. Many people have said, even some of you might have said it, or maybe even some of you may still believe this. And so what we want to talk about today is this idea that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Doesn't matter what you believe about God, as long as you are sincere, or maybe as long as it doesn't affect society, you can believe whatever you want, and that's fine. I'll believe what I want, and it's all good. No big deal either way, especially in our culture today. This is a belief that is very, very prominent, and you hear this quite a bit of times, especially, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about, what does it matter what you believe as long as you're sincere, and, oh, well, he's a good person. She's a good person. You hear it a lot if you've been to funerals. That person, I mean, she wasn't very religious, but, you know, she did a lot of good things. He didn't really know God or go to church, but I mean, gosh, he was a good guy. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. It's okay. She didn't really act in faith at all in her life, but that's okay. Grandma's in a better place now, looking down from us on heaven. A few times a day, I don't really want grandma looking down at me, if you know what I'm talking about. Prefer that grandma, you keep your eyes to yourself. Doesn't matter what you believe in. All roads lead to God anyway. All paths lead to him. All religions are basically the same. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere. What's incredibly interesting is, to me, in our culture, basic spirituality is not controversial at all. It is not controversial to believe in God. You watch any sort of daytime talk show, and they can talk all day long about spirituality and a higher power, and there's no controversy at all. You watch a sporting event, and people will, at the end of it, give glory and credit to God. You watch the Grammys, especially last week, and people give glory to God. But it gets controversial when Chance the Rapper says Jesus is the one true God, right? It gets controversial when you mention the name Jesus. You can talk about God. You can talk about a higher power. You can talk about spirituality and nobody wigs out. But the moment you talk about Jesus, that's when things get really, really interesting. And what's fascinating is a lot of things, but nobody really debates the existence of Jesus. Like even his detractors are not debating the fact that Jesus was real. They're going to acknowledge all day long that Jesus was a real person. What's also interesting is, man, it is hard to find a person that does not find value in the teaching of Jesus. I haven't met somebody that doesn't like the teaching of Jesus, where you help the poor and you love others and you be generous and you forgive those and you serve the least of these. Like, it's virtually impossible to hate the teaching of Jesus. So detractors don't debate his existence. Everybody kind of likes his teaching. And so why is it that everybody gets so upset? And I think it boils down to this one time when Jesus made this exclusive claim in John chapter 14, verse 6, when Thomas, his disciple, was around him and he said, God, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? And Jesus said, I am the what? I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. This exclusive claim that Jesus made is kind of what makes the whole thing controversial. That Jesus Christ is the one way, the one truth, and the one life, and nobody gets to heaven. It's not all roads lead to heaven. No, you get to heaven. You get to the Father through Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's what sets Christianity apart in a massive way from the other world religions. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to speak very practically, teach you a little bit about why all religions are not the same, and then teach you a little bit on why Jesus is better and why Jesus is different. I want to have an open discussion about world religions this morning. And we have to acknowledge, and I think some of us don't want to do this because it maybe sounds wrong the first time we say it, but we do have to acknowledge that in other religions, there can be some beauty and there can be some truth, right? I think we can acknowledge that in other religions, there are some beauty and some truth, but there may be truth and beauty in all religions, but they are not the same. So let me just give you a real brief overview, just really high points of a few of the major world beliefs. Buddhism has no God, okay? No final type of existence. What a Buddhist would believe in is countless rebirths, rebirth after rebirth after rebirth. And eventually we try to end that cycle of rebirths. Hinduism, though, is very, very different. Hinduism, you worship an impersonal God that is approached through deities or statues or idols, of which Jesus Christ can actually be one of those. Very, very different. If you take a Muslims worship Allah. Allah is a personal God. There are no secondary gods, and there's a total ban on other idols, unlike other religions. Your standing, if you are a Muslim, is how devoted you are to Allah and to his teachings and your works. Take New Age. New Age is very popular in our day today. And New Age has no personal God. They believe most often in a higher consciousness and wanting to maybe be one with the cosmos or one with the universe, whatever that sort of looks like. Buddhism and Hinduism, they offer absolutely no forgiveness of sins or supernatural help, only this thing called karma. In other words, if you do bad things, then bad things are going to come on you. If you do good things, then good things will come on you. That's the basics of the karma belief. And there's a lot of Christians, even people in this room, that have mentioned karma and may even believe in karma. In fact, I've heard some of you say, you know what, karma can be a real... I want you to know that karma is the absolute opposite of what we teach. It is the opposite of grace. So if you are eagerly excited about this doctrine of karma, that someone else might get what they deserve, be careful. Because you don't want what you deserve. Karma says, I get what I deserve. Grace says, I get what Jesus deserves. That's so different. And so I don't want anyone out there joking or talking or believing that karma is how we live. It very literally is the opposite of the foundation of our faith. Christianity says we deserve death but get life. We deserve bad but we get good over and over again. Unlike all the other religions, Christianity has a personal God exposed to us through God's only Son, Jesus Christ, who offers us the forgiveness of sins not based on religious efforts, not based on karma, but based on God's goodness and his love alone. We have to acknowledge that though there may be some truth and there may be some beauty in the other world religions, they are not the same. According to Gabe Lyons and David Kinnaman in their latest book, Good Faith, 79% of people people can believe whatever they want as long as those beliefs don't affect society. 61% of Christians agree with that statement. But here's the reality. Beliefs always affect society. Always. Thanks to conservative icon Ronald Reagan, marriage is, as far as the government is concerned, nothing more than a contract between two adults. And I understand everyone loves Ronald Reagan. But he wasn't a perfect man. In 1969, the then governor signed a no-fault divorce into state law. So if you don't like the way your relationship is headed, you can dissolve it with the check of a box. It doesn't matter if your kids will be displaced or your spouse has kept their covenantal commitments. As far as the government is concerned, you are within your rights to cancel the contract, move on, and let the rest of the family and society pick up the pieces. No harm, no foul, but there is harm. Millions of teens and millions of young adults, one-third of them actually in our country, wake up every morning with only one of their biological parents in the house, making them more likely to drop out of school, to have or cause a teen pregnancy, or to later in life divorce as an adult. Beliefs affect society. Just because you don't believe something doesn't make it right. Just because you believe that pornography is a normal expression of human sexuality does not make it right. Now we have so many men and women being objectified every day by so many people. And there's so many sexual sins and issues that we have going on in this country. So when someone says it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere or as long as those beliefs don't affect society, an objective person has to look at that and say, you know what? That's something God never said. And it's actually not right at all. Not at all. On a simplistic level, any time someone legitimately writes a check with this sincere belief that they have funds to cover it, and in reality, there isn't enough money in the account, the check bounces, right? I can believe all I want that my sports team is going to win. Usually doesn't happen. On a grander scale, I bet Hitler was sincere in his belief that it was beneficial to society, acceptable, and even commendable to kill millions of Jews. Sincerity proves to be completely and woefully inadequate to justify anyone's belief about anything. Sincere people can be sincerely wrong. If you walk out onto a frozen lake because you believe that the ice is solid enough to hold your weight, what's important is not what you believe about the ice, but the reality of whether it's thick enough or not. The density of that ice when I walk out, will it actually hold me up or not? That's what's important. Your belief is irrelevant. The same is true in the spiritual realm. If I make the statement God exists, either that is true or it's not true. It doesn't matter how convinced I am, how loud I say it, or whether or not you agree. It's either true or false. And I'm just under the impression that it's true. And I believe in the Word of God, known as the Holy Bible. And I believe in what God is doing. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the one true way, is the one truth, the one life, and that nobody comes to the Father through Him. And today what I want to do is I want to make the case that Jesus is the one true God. And so before I continue, I will honestly and humbly admit that and acknowledge that I am a follower of Jesus. So my presentation today is absolutely biased. I have some biases. Some of you agree with some of them, some of you don't agree with others, but what I want to do is I want to try at least to look as objectively as I can. And what I want to ask you is that no matter what you believe, especially about our statement today, I'm simply going to ask you this morning to do one thing. Consider Jesus. Just consider Jesus. And please, please, please hear me. I'm not asking you to consider our church, okay? I'm not asking you to consider a Christian denomination. I'm not even asking you to consider Christianity, because I'm going to argue that the Christianity that most people know is far different from the one that Jesus came to bring. Jesus did not come to start a religion. He came to reveal the love of God to those that needed a Savior. That's what he came to do. So I'm not even going to ask you to consider Christianity. And I'm certainly not going to ask you to consider the behavior of those who call themselves Christians. Because if I can be real with you for just a moment, you can meet two people that both label themselves as Christians and they are diametrically opposed to each other. You might meet one person and say, man, that person is so full of love and sincerity and they're so genuine and they're so caring and they're so full of grace that if that's what Christianity is about, I may want more of that. And you may go right down the street and say, and meet someone else who calls himself a Christian. You say, you know what? I have not met a more self-righteous, bigoted person ever in my life. I'm not asking you to even consider Christians. I'm not asking you to consider me. Because, man, the more you get to know me, the more I'll fail you, because I am a very imperfect man. It's funny, a lot of times I hear people talk to either Allison or myself and they'll tell us something about their life, and usually because we're pastor and pastor's wife, they like to tell us all the bad things. Thank you, by the way. We welcome like appointments where it's only good news, just so you know. But usually after somebody kind of pours out their heart and you know, they'll say something like, Allison, Zach, you guys can't relate. You guys are the perfect family. And Allison and I are always bothered by this because we know we're not. I know we're not. I mean, my wife and kids have a lot of issues going on right now. They're working on them, guys. I got some issues too. So I don't even want you to consider me. I want you to consider Jesus and who he was. And then you decide what's actually true about faith and eternal life. And so I want to look at three different aspects of Jesus today. The first one, I want you to consider the ministry of Jesus. Consider the ministry of Jesus. And I want to look at Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Because in this verse, we see that Jesus, he was with the teachers of the law who were Pharisees. These were the religious leaders of the day. And they saw Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. Who did he eat with? Tax collectors and sinners, right? And so they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? No really righteous person would eat with those kind of people. They're too dirty. They're too filthy. They're full of sin. And on hearing this, Jesus said this to them. And I love this. Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but who? The sick. And I have come not to call the righteous, but to call sinners. And that is good news, because that means he came for you and he came for me. He came for people that don't have it all together. Think about Jesus, to whom other people despise. Jesus went to those people. He loved and he accepted those people. To those that religion rejected, Jesus loved and accepted them. When a woman was caught in adultery and they brought her before Jesus, they said, the law says we should stone this woman to death. Jesus says, who of you is without sin? You may cast the first stone. And as all the stones fell and the people left, Jesus was left alone with this adulterous woman. And he said to her, go and sin no more. Your sins have been forgiven. You got a new life now. You got a new life. Consider the ministry of Jesus and who he was and what he did. Jesus opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He caused the mute to speak. He touched the lepers. When other people wouldn't go close to him, Jesus went near them and he healed them. Jesus got near to people that needed it. Jesus turned water to wine, which is still a problem for a lot of my Baptist friends these days, at least in public. They like to drink it in private. But anyway, ooh, a lot of former Baptists out there that now you can enjoy drinking responsibly in a Lutheran church. You're welcome for opening a Lutheran church in Mount Dora. Just saying. Responsibly, of course. Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish to feed 5,000 men and probably thousands more women and children. He walked on water. Jesus raised the dead. And here's what, another thing that's crazy. A lot of his critics and detractors, they didn't stop. They didn't question the validity of his miracles. They just asked him to stop because it threatened their system and the way things were supposed to go. They're not questioning if they actually happened. You don't find books where they're questioned. You don't find historical books where they're, but Jesus, will you stop? Will you just stop doing all this great stuff? Because you're threatening our system. I want you to know the reality is that some of you, you are a miracle of the ministry of Jesus. The fact that you are here today is a miracle of the ministry of Jesus. I get the privilege and I'm grateful for it to speak to you regularly and kind of survey the crowd. And in the crowd, I can pick out certain people that I remember years ago, you were stuck. Might have been in a sin. It might have been in a marital issue. It might have been a financial issue. It might have been an addiction. And you were counted out by a lot of other people, but yet you're still here today. And some of the people that came to me years ago that says, you know, I'm struggling with addiction. I don't know what to do next. You are now helping people in their recovery. Some of you people who are, you know what, Zach, our marriage is a wreck right now. We don't know what we're going to do, but we stayed in it. You are now helping young married couples figure out what this life is all about. You are a miracle of the ministry of Jesus. And I'm so privileged to speak to you each and every week because, man, I shouldn't be here. I'm a miracle of the ministry of Jesus. I remember 15 and a half years ago when I was driving and I got blindsided by a pickup truck that was going 60 mile an hour and hit me right in the driver's side door. I should be dead or my life should be severely altered. But on that night, I got on my knees and said, God, I want to use whatever breath and whatever life I have left because I'm a miracle of the ministry of Jesus to proclaim who you are to the world because that's all that matters to me. Like Ezekiel, God, you're a fire shut up in my bones and I can't wait. I can't contain it any longer. I'm a miracle of the ministry of Jesus. You're a miracle of the ministry of Jesus. Consider his ministry. Secondly, I want you to consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What you need to understand is that God loves you, but he hates sin. And so God sent Jesus into this world to be born of a virgin so he would have no sin nature of an earthly father. And so he came through Mary. He came without sin, and he didn't sin when he was here. And that's why he could go to the cross to become sin for us. I don't want you to miss the power of this. On the cross, when creation was mocking him, his creation mocking the creator, at that moment when they had done their worst, beaten him where he was unrecognizable, driving stakes through his wrist and his heels with a spear in his side, hanging him on an instrument of torture, Jesus looks up to God and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he said, "It is finished. I did it. Into your hands I commit my spirit." And the earth went dark, and the earth trembled, and the centurion who had carried the cross of Jesus, who was not a believer, looked on him and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And if that wasn't enough, 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. His clothes nicely folded in that tomb. And he came out and he said, "You know what? I'm back. I'm back, baby. And the tomb is empty. And let's go." And Christians believe that he was raised from the dead. Peter says it this way in Acts 3:15. He says, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this." What are we? We are witnesses of this. We are eyewitnesses of this. I don't want you to miss that. This is so important because there are eyewitnesses that Jesus was dead and he's alive again. There were eyewitnesses. Now there are critics and there are skeptics, and they'll say things like, "Well, the Roman soldiers probably stole the body." Listen, the enemies of Christ would have loved to produce a dead body of Jesus, but he didn't stay dead. They couldn't. And so that argument goes out the door immediately. Some people say, "Well, the disciples took the body. So you're going to tell me that they overpowered armed and trained Roman soldiers? Even if they did, you would still have the testimony of the Roman guards who said they took it. And even then you'd have to believe that you'd have to ask yourself, do you really expect any rational person to believe that 11 small town, uneducated, average men devised the most elaborate scheme in the history of the world and then kept that promise, that secret kept? Are you serious? All with no personal motives and only extreme personal loss? Because don't you know that out of the 11 that remained, 10 of them died for their faith, and the only one that didn't was because he was on exile and in the run and found an island where he would one day write to us the book of Revelation? Do you know that? That's what these disciples did. They risked their life. The one that doubted, there was one that doubted. What was his name?
Thomas doubted.
Thomas doubted. "I'm not going to believe it unless I see it." And Jesus, like a ghost, came through the door, came through the wall and said, "Thomas, check this out. Check out my sides. Look at my hands. Believe it. Blessed are you who believe and have not seen. But believe it, Thomas." And Thomas, the one that doubted, would become the great evangelist to India and would eventually, as people were asking him in India to renounce his faith in his Savior, Jesus, Thomas, who was a doubter, said, "I will never renounce my Savior." And so they drove a spear through his body. Why would he die for a faith when he once doubted? Why? Because he saw the risen Christ. And if you know that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior, then why in the world would we ever doubt? And why would we ever say things like, "It doesn't matter what you believe"? We are eyewitnesses of this. You killed the Savior, but God raised him from the dead. Don't consider Christians. Don't consider this church. Don't consider me. Don't consider any of that. I mean, the deeper you dig into this church, you're going to see there's all sorts of issues. I mean, we've got Mark Crossman on full-time staff. So don't dig too close, people. Consider Jesus. Consider the ministry. Consider the resurrection. And then finally, I want to ask you to consider the eternal message of Jesus. Paul says in Romans 3:22 that this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It is given to us by placing our faith where? In Jesus Christ. How are we made right by God? Don't miss this. By putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's how we are made right with God. No matter what you have done, no matter how dark your life is, no matter how long you've been away from God, no matter what other people are telling you, no matter how many sins you committed, no matter how messed up your life is going right now, no matter if you've hated Christianity before, no matter how dark your world is right now, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and has faith in him will be made right by God. Christianity is really Christ plus nothing. Nothing. Not Christ plus good works, not Christ plus baptism, not Christ plus church attendance, not Christ plus giving generously, not Christ plus any of those things. It's Christ plus nothing. It's not Christ plus getting rid of your bad stuff, not Christ plus stopping having bad thoughts and stopping doing bad things. It's Christ plus nothing. In Christ alone, we have the hope of eternal life. In Christ alone, we are made new. In Christ alone, the old is gone, the new has come. It is in Christ alone that we are made real. Religion, here's the problem. Religion is all about us. Religion is about me. It's about how I perform. It's what I do. It's, am I good enough? It's, do I get rid of, am I getting rid of the bad stuff? Religion is all about me, but I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship today, because Jesus didn't come to create a religion. He came to show us the love of God. And while religion is about me, relationship is about Jesus. It's all about him. Religion says, if I am good enough, then God will accept me. But if I obey God, then finally he'll say, yeah, you're good enough. But relationship says, no, God loves me, and so he accepts me. He accepts me, so then now I choose to obey. It's not in an effort to gain his love. It's in a response to his eternal love. That, my goodness, God, you're so amazing that you would die on a cross and do all this and give all these things to me, that, man, I cannot wait to go out and to serve you and to obey your commands. I find that your word and that your law is so sweet. It's so amazing to do the things, God, that you ask us to do. While religion is all about me, relationship is about Jesus. God doesn't love you because of what you do. He loves you because of who he is. And love is just what he does. Love is just who he is. And there's nothing you can do to get God to love you more. And there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you less. God loves you because that's who he is. Consider the eternal message of Jesus. Religion is about, if I'm good, he will love me. Relationship is, no, he's good and he already loves me. Religion is spelled, if you want to write this out, religion is spelled spiritually D-O. Relationship is spelled D-O-N-E. It's all been done for you. It is finished. When Jesus said tetelestai on the cross, that means it is done. It is finished. I came to do what the Father sent me to do, and I did it. It's done. You may want to add something, but God says it is done. You may want to try to be better, but God said it is done. You may want to add good works, but God said it is done. You may want to do all these things, but 2,000 years ago, God became flesh and blood, and he dwelt among us. He came without sin and became sin and died on the cross, and on the third day, he raised from the dead. When you believe in him, it doesn't matter who you are, how bad you've been, what you've done. Our God says it is finished. It is done. It is D-O-N-E, done. And some of you are going to say, that's all right, but that's too good to be true. I'm telling you right now, it's too good not to be true, because no one in their right mind would have made up a God who would become one of us and die in our place. That's why it's called the gospel, and that's why it's good news for us today. God became us, died for us, rose from the dead so that we could be with him. If we have faith in Jesus. So here's why this is important. Absolutely matters what you believe. It matters for this world. It also, I genuinely believe it, except it influences and affects society. I don't care if you're sincere in what you believe. I don't care if you're genuine in what you believe. But in this place, if you're saying, you know what, I believe in Jesus Christ, he is my Lord and Savior, then we cannot go out there and say to people, you know what, you believe what you want to believe. And I'll believe what I want to believe. And it's all good. We cannot promote this sort of tolerance when it comes to eternity. No, it matters for this world. And even more importantly, it matters for eternity. Again, I share the words of Jesus that we said at the beginning. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. It is not all roads lead to heaven. It is not, well, she was a pretty good person. He was a decent dude. It is not that. It's in the end, did you believe in Jesus Christ? Was he your Lord? And was he your savior? It matters what you believe. If you placed your faith in Jesus, then you have a road that leads eternally with him to heaven. And you can say, Zach, that's biased. I know it is. But it's what I believe. And if you're not at that point yet, that's okay. all I would ask you to do, because this is it's that important. Open the Word of God and start reading and find out for yourself. Don't consider me. Don't even consider what I'm saying. Consider what the Word of God, just see what happens, because there are far too many people out there that do not know Jesus and have not placed their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we as a church said, we will not accept the status quo, and we will not accept seeing that people are less and less interested in God, in church, in Christianity. No, we will do whatever it takes, we've said, anything short of sin to reach people. We will do whatever it takes, anything short of sin. And so here's my challenge to you this morning. My challenge to you, a very practical way to end the series. You've got a card on your seat right now. Grab that. And grab a pen. On the top of this card, it says, my three. And on this card, I want you to write three people that you know. Could be your friends, your classmates, your other employees, your neighbors. It could be a family member of yours. And I want you to write down three names of people that do not know Jesus or are very far from Him right now in this moment. And what I want to encourage you is in the next 3 weeks, you will talk to these three people about who Jesus is, about what He's done, not in a braggadocious way, not in a self-righteous way, but in a, hey, can I tell you about what my God's done for me sort of way. And so you got one name first week, second name second week, third name third week. Some of you overachievers, you're going to do it all today because you're so fired up, and that's good for you. By the way, you don't have to stop at three. You can keep going in this place, but you are making a promise and a declaration that the names I'm writing today, I'm going to talk to them about who Jesus is, because if what I really believe about Jesus is what the pastor is telling me right now, then it's too important not to say anything. They got to know who He is. This stuff matters for now, and it matters eternally. And I will do whatever it takes, anything short of sin, to reach people. And so I will sit with them. I will invite them to come to church. I'll go with them to the launch class, because that's stuff everybody needs to hear. I will do everything that I can, because if it is my goal to know Jesus Christ in this world and to introduce others to know Jesus Christ and to help develop them into faith-filled, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ, how can we not do this? And I want to talk just real quick. If you're struggling to think of three names, you may be patting yourself on the back right now, thinking, man, all the people around me know Jesus, thinking how great you are. But if you don't know three people that don't know Jesus, what you need to do is get out of your little comfortable, safe Christian bubble and go meet some new people. Because we are here to tell people about Jesus Christ and who He is. And if everybody around you already knows and you are limiting what God can do in your life, you need to get out there and get to meet new people and tell them exactly who this God of ours is. That's what we want to do in this place. We want to be intentional about telling people about who Jesus Christ is. And lastly, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but today you want to say, I have faith in Him. I don't have to have all the questions answered, but today I have faith in Jesus. He's my Lord and my Savior. Whether it's for the first or the thousandth time, I place my faith in You today, Jesus. If that's you, will you stand right now? Will you stand right now? And I want to pray with you and pray for you. And if this is the first time you've ever stood, or you've ever said, Jesus, You are my Savior, You are my Lord, I'd love to see you afterwards. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to give you some resources that are going to help you in your next step. Pray this with me. Say, dear Jesus, You are the way and the truth and the life. I'm sorry, Jesus, for my sins. I've made a mess of my life. I thank You, Jesus, that You came in my place to die my death, to pay for my sins. And I will faithfully follow You the rest of the days of my life. I love You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing here today. We thank You, Jesus, for changing lives and turning hearts over to You today. Lord Jesus, I pray specifically for the people in this room and the people's names on the cards, that we would see people in this city and beyond come to know the love and grace of Jesus. For You are the one true way. You are the truth and You are the life. You are the one true God, and we believe in You, Jesus Christ. Let's sing it now with everything that we got, everything that we believe, Jesus. We love You and we praise You in this place this morning.